What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 1021 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles, joined today by James Dean Rader, Tyler Meisinger, Ben Funky Askren, and 1021, that's the KD Piles and Christian Piles anniversary date, October 21st.
Aww.
Shout out. This is there's going to be true love in this episode.
Do you remember the 21st night of October?
In 2006, so we're coming up on, God, I want to say 10 years now of marriage, but there's a lot more to get into. Look at
Christian loves taking the Olympic trials episode and making it about himself.
Yeah, let's talk about it. It was a crisp autumn morning. No. Ben's got a little swolled up eye. Who you been wrestling around with?
You know what? It's happened like, I don't remember. I wrestled twice last week, and I don't remember hitting it, and there was just swollen a little bit. So
could be.
Sure. I don't think it's infected because it hasn't gotten worse in like 3 days, but
it could
be. It goes away.
Old droopy eye.
Yeah, a little droop.
Well, my dad I have a lot of extra skin here right there on my eyes. My dad actually had to have surgery because as you get older, your skin sags, and he had to get some skin cut out up there.
Wow.
I might have that coming.
It's
at
like
some
a basset
point.
Hound.
Yeah, you really do. Yeah, got it. when you start pulling at that, man, that's one area where Ben physically you outmatch me. I can give you that. All right,
I've had a lot of cuts there, and I think it's probably because I got so much skin moving around.
Yeah,
no good.
Very well could be. What's up, Giggles?
It's just so funny. I just got so much skin around my eyes.
Look at it all. Look at that side profile.
Oh my gosh,
there's so much. Like, there's a lot there, you know.
Man, that's where the that's how you made 74 kilograms. You were able to cut out all that eye skin.
So funny.
Okay. We have so much to get into. Incredible Olympic trials. I feel like I've been talking all weekend about it, so I really want to go to Ben Funky Askren to talk about some of the bigger storylines. Starting at 74 kilograms, Ben is frozen. I hope he comes back. Ben, are you there?
Wow. We lost him.
The very moment I wanted to kick it to Ben, Ben gets kicked off. I hope he comes back. There he is. He's back.
You guys are bullying me, and I decided to leave, and then I said, well, I only have two shows left, so I can deal with it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's sad. But, Ben, I wanted your perspective on the happenings of 74 kilograms, particularly Mitchell Messenbrink versus Jordan Burroughs.
So I come on the show, and you put me on the hot seat right away.
Well, yeah, two shows left. You're going to get grilled.
All right, sure. Yeah, I mean, listen. You know, you were acting like it was a different Mitchell. That was the same Mitchell.
I wasn't acting like it.
You were. You did not love Mitchell's antics, behavior, whatever.
Well, no, I didn't.
Okay. So, but that's who he is. I think it's probably because he has a small amygdala. Well, I've never taken a CAT scan of his brain. This guy, he likes to fight. He likes to fight a lot. And that's just his. And I said, guys in college wrestling, could put up an instance to see that side this year.
Hey Ben, you're cutting out really bad.
Is your
internet bad?
I don't know. I actually don't know what happened the first time. Can you hear me now or no?
Yeah, I can hear you. It's kind of better.
Oh man. I can always go upstairs on my phone.
Yeah. Well, it's better now.
Okay.
Maybe we just had
can
to
I talk now or no?
Maybe we just had to shame your internet and now it's acting right. Okay. Yeah, continue. He has a small amygdala, and he loves to fight.
Small amygdala, loves to fight. A lot of people this year didn't put up a resistance to see him fight enough. But he sure wasn't going to treat Jordan Burroughs different because he's Jordan Burroughs. He's going to go out there and try to fight him. And that was what he did, and Jordan didn't like it. And listen, Jordan was that was well deserved. And I've had to do that plenty of times with Mitchell, I'm going to try to choke you out, and maybe I will choke you out if you keep up this behavior. That's just how it is. You battle.
Yeah, no. So I guess my perspective is not that Mitchell was out of line. I believe Mitchell is seeking the line wherever it is.
He's the line. Well, we had to work very hard on that line because one of the first things when I started working with him one-on-one was he had lost his composure and it had caused some issues. And so my specific tactic was to attempt to get him to lose his composure. So I would do all kinds of dirty things. I'd poke him in the eye, pull his hair a little bit, choke him a little too much, Maybe my favorite tactic to try to upset him was I'd hit a big move on him, and then I'd give him the old Nate Diaz double birds. Oh, you know, God. Like I would really, really try to antagonize him to try to get that, you know, to try to get him to lose his composure, because that had been an issue a couple times.
Well, it's like immersion therapy.
Immersion therapy. Yeah, you got to put him in the heat.
Yeah, you put him in heat. So, yeah, I thought the match just was allowed to get out of control by the official.
Yes.
They hit him for attention, and then they hit him for attention again. It's like, well, is there an issue? Because if you just – there's nothing behind an attention,
yeah.
Right? Especially if you go doubles of the attentions. Now you're just letting him do all this stuff. So then it's like, all right, Jordan's perspective is like, all right, I guess there is not going to be any intervention from the officials at any point for what he's doing, so I will intervene. And, yeah.
So the part I didn't like about – and listen, I had to deal with this Mitchell for – I wrestled him once a week for, I don't know, multiple more than once a week. Like, if you're annoyed by his tactics, just try to whoop his ass. That's what I did. I just tried to – if he got a little over the line, I just tried to beat him up as bad as I could.
Well, he was up 8-0.
But he would kept backing to the edge. It's like, if you don't like it, just go double leg him one time, finish the match, and be done with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yes. I mean, yeah. That's Jordan kind of a simplification of wrestling. It's like, yeah, that's why I would just pin guys immediately. That way I wouldn't have to worry about getting tired. Like, I don't know, Ben, maybe that's a simplification of the situation.
He was very aggressive against Jason Nolf. Against Mitchell in the second period, he backed to the edge almost every single time. And it was like, if you don't like his tactics, go beat him up.
Wait, you think Jordan was aggressive against Jason Nolf?
That second period, he pushed forward the whole time.
Oh, yeah, well... That is,
he was taking ground and moving forward.
Did he take ground or did Nolf back to the edge?
Yeah, I don't know what.
Well, yes.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, to the point where I was almost shocked that Jordan didn't get a caution in one. Like, I thought Jordan totally deserved a caution in one because Nolf was evading the actions.
Yeah, it's strange that it went shot clock in the first period for Nolf, right? And then normally if they go shot clock and then there's no other scores, they'll hit the other guy. They would have hit Nolf for a shot clock, like the first warning. And that never came, yes. And that never came, and never came. And it's just, it was, if you watch a lot of freestyle, which I do, you know there is like a sequencing of.
Yes.
And sequencing, that's big topic.
Well, they can just do caution in one because they did that against David Taylor, which I thought was preposterous. But they did it in the first period against David Taylor in the second match.
That was.
They could have done that. To Nolf for sure.
Well, that was not because of evasion. That was because when he was in double underhooks, he pushed off of the face, and apparently that's like an automatic thing.
What? Since yeah. When? I mean, okay, fine, whatever. I guess it's not evasion, although that's what I thought they were calling. But I
no.
When was the last time we see a double push on the face called as a penalty point?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't know that was a thing, and then I was asking around. I was like, what was that point for? And then that is what was explained to me. Because in real time, I was like, wait, why does he have a point?
Yeah. So as far as Mitchell's concerned, Mitchell's going to show up and try to fight you every single time, yeah. Every single opponent. He doesn't care. That's what you love. And sometimes that may be what's frustrating, but that's who's going to show up.
The crowd became a big topic of discussion throughout this. They booed Jordan Burroughs very loudly. Yeah. And then after the... And then that was during the Mitchell and after the Mitchell match. And then the Nolf match happens and, you know, Nolf, give maybe your thoughts on that match. We already talked about the sort of how the beginning played out, very calculated, and it was Nolf shot clock. And I thought it was merited. I thought Nolf was controlling the center and deserved to have Burroughs put on the shot clock. But then when there's no activity and there's no scores and nothing's happening, normally you'll see that first warning come at the end of the first period. Didn't come for whatever reason. And then right away, Nolf sets a real tone to start that second period.
Yeah, with the double leg, for sure. Yeah, Nolf wrestled great, looked great. And, you know, Kyle Take still made him look like he was a step behind, which is super impressive. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about this at some point, which is so impressive, Kyle Take. Because, you know, we saw our legends aging this weekend. We saw the guys who have been bringing back all these medals get old. And Kyle Dink told us his ass was getting older. And, man, I kind of believe him now. I kind of believe him. He looks really good for being as old as he is.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll definitely get to Dake Nolf after this. But I guess.
Are you going to talk about the crowd? Because I'll definitely speak on this topic.
Go for it. That's why you're here.
Okay. So, I mean, I think you were also a little upset about the crowd, and a lot of people were, and I think that they're feeling. But being in this game so long, it's one of those things like when crowds get big enough, they don't behave highly logically, right? Especially when it's like a hometown biased crowd, they definitely do. And then once the crowd gets moving in that direction, there's usually no swaying them back, right? They're going to go wherever they're going to go. And then you're going to have a few of these extremists who are trying to be like, they think that this is how the crowd feels, so I'm going to play it up even more. And they do things like the guy did to Jordan, which was a total, you know, I want to swear again. I've already swore once, so I'm not going to swear again. Not good move. But also, it's like, I don't know, a little bit, it should be expected of the crowd to act out of line sometimes. I've felt it. Everyone in MMA, like, we feel it once in a while. And so wrestling is getting to the point where there's enough popularity that it's going to happen, and it's maybe not always pretty, but that is how crowds work, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I've never said that, like, wow, you should not boo Jordan, because I think for something I've been saying, like, you can't tell people who to root for or not root against, and booing is, you know, would I have booed Jordan Burroughs? No. Did I like that they did that? No. But listen, there was mounting tension between Jordan and Nittany Lion entities coming into this tournament that was very public. You had Bo versus Jordan, you had Sturaci versus Jordan, the war of words, and then Mitchell is as popular a guy in Happy Valley as you'll find. Like, he was, you know,
maybe the mayor now.
He may be the mayor of State College. I don't even know.
Hey, he is a lot of fun to watch. Come on, those other matches are so much fun.
I mean, that's the match we're talking about, right? And yeah. You know, the booing, it's like, all right, I get it. I didn't judge it or wasn't surprised by it. I don't think it's out of line. They're going to cheer for their guy. But then, you know, to the level that it got to with the personal and the couple of people that were especially ugly towards Jordan, I did not like that and thought that was just not the way to treat a guy who has been just such a great champion for wrestling. Regardless, I mean, you think about Jaden Cox and the ovation he got. This is a guy, you know, he and David in 2017, that was tense. The wrath of God thing after 2021, like, there was tension. There was tension there. But he got his flowers when he lost and was able to have one of the best shoe removal retirements I've ever seen. Like,
shoe removal. Shoe removal.
Jaden was gracious and the crowd was gracious and that was great. And Jordan doesn't deserve that. I mean, not that Jaden doesn't, but Jordan.
Listen, that's what I'm saying. Crowds are so illogical.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does, but he also didn't retire, which I think if he had done that,
I don't know.
I want to say the crowd would have flipped.
I don't know.
The crowd would have flipped. Sometimes it's hard to flip crowds, but I think people may have came to their senses on that one. If he had taken his shoes off, I think people might have taken a second to reflect, and they might have thought, man, I'm being a butthole. This guy's done so much for American wrestling, and on his last time out here, this is how I'm acting. Like, I need to reconsider my behavior. I can't promise you because it didn't happen. We can see it. I think there's a chance that would have happened.
He's just not giving Penn State that moment. You don't get my retirement. He might be retired for all we know.
Well,
but I think he's like, I'm not doing it in front of y'all. Y'all don't get that moment.
That's why you got to ignore the crowd. You do what you want to do every time. You do what you want to do every time. And, you know, there's more. Obviously, there's fans in the arena that are watching, right? But there's a lot more people watching around the world or, you know, live online. And so you do it for them and you do it for you because this is what you've done and this is what you wanted to do. And that's where you do it. And you ignore the crowd. And that's honestly, that's where I think a lot of fighters and wrestling is getting to the point where we're having crowds and people are considering the crowd. But that's where a lot of fighters get caught up as they try too much to please the crowd and they forget about doing what they want to do.
And I will say the crowd, a good portion of them did cheer for Jordan as he came off the mat. And on the whole crowd thing, I will say this, the knock on Penn State has been they have an older, quieter crowd. Kale even said this year during the season, our crowd is too quiet. And he says, that's not good. And
they reflect his energy.
Yeah. Well,
his stoicism.
You can't say that. This weekend they were loud, and you want your fans rooting for your guys, which means cheering against the competition, which in this case was Jordan Burroughs. Would I boo Jordan Burroughs? No, of course not. But when your fan base gets to be that big, kind of like you were saying, Ben, you in an ideal world, your fans are extremely loud and extremely passionate for just your guys and will say respect a legend like Jordan Burroughs. But that ideal world does not exist. And if you want the loudest, most passionate, rowdiest fan base, you are going to get some of what happened last weekend.
Some people that are out of line.
It was 100%. Yeah, it was a.
And I was thinking back, you know what? I was thinking back to Christian. It's made me reflect on, because I knew obviously we were talking about this. It made me reflect on 2012 Olympic trials in Iowa City. That place was half empty. I remember I was able to buy, I think we took like 40 athlete parents, families, you know, and we bought tickets for, I think, the whole weekend for $40 or something to that effect, you know? So it's like that was what wrestling was like. I was at 2000, I was at 2004, I was at 2008. None of those arenas were more than half full, right?
Yeah.
And a couple of them probably weren't very close. I don't recall what the crowd was like at 16. I'm blanking on that one.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it's getting there, but now wrestling is a sport where the biggest events are going to have sold out crowds, and it's kind of different, and we're probably going to get this sometimes. And, you know, that I would say that kind of comes with the territory. Like when crowds get too large, they get out of hand and they're illogical and stuff like this happens.
Is wrestling getting bigger, or was it because it was held in State College where a quarter of the field?
Wrestling is definitely getting bigger because Big Ten sells out every year. NCAA sells, like all these tournaments are the big ones are selling out. So I don't know whether it's more wrestling fans or wrestling fans are more ardent where they're showing up to the big events at a really high rate. I think when I was younger, probably the only one that ever sold out, and even that one was meh, and the ticket price was way lower, was NCAA's.
Yeah,
that was it.
I mean Penn State was a great location for it. I thought BJC was a perfect size. I thought it had a lot around for the fans to do. They had a lot of they had like a shuttle that would take you downtown for simplicity. I thought it was a good place. It was a great crowd. It was a very Penn State crowd, as you would expect and as the Penn State wrestlers deserve. And yeah, I thought good crowd. You know, you cannot like a moment and think the crowd was fine, and there was some bad stuff that happened. But let's.
Hey, I had a funny thought, Christian. You want to hear it?
I doubt it was funny, but go ahead.
It is. I don't remember. I remember I watched that Michael Jordan Last Dance. They called it, right? Was that what it was called?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
About the Bulls last season. I was thinking, what if Jordan Burroughs wasn't going to coach college wrestling? And then this weekend gave him such a bad taste in his mouth. He goes, I freaking hate those Penn State people. I'm gonna be the one that takes him down. Gosh. And he goes and starts coaching college wrestling somewhere just to go beat Penn State. How funny would that be?
That would be funny. Incredible, too. Yeah, maybe.
And I took that personally.
And I took that personally. There
yeah,
we
it's
go.
Like
yes.
Michael Jordan awesome. Had to make up things to get fired up. Now this is very tangible for Jordan.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I was just thinking.
No, go ahead. You.
It was just Penn State was so dominant this weekend. They're so good. It is really hard to hate on them because Kale's just such a sweet guy.
Good guy. Good
except Soraki says some things that are out of line.
I wonder how he feels about that, or if they have, because it's antithetical to like how Kale would handle and really how the rest of his guys have. Is Carter is a different guy, has been since he got there, has not changed.
Yeah.
And I'm not judging it at all, but it's just a different sort of temperament for.
This man said he would spit in Jordan Burroughs' face. That is.
Yeah, and he didn't show up to the fight. Mitchell showed up to the fight. You show up to the fight, you get to talk, you can say, do whatever you want, right? And the other person can fight you back. Carter Starocki said he was going 74 kilograms. He didn't show up to the fight, and then he kept talking about him afterwards. It's like, no. You guys had an agreement. You were both going to show up at 74 kilograms. One of you showed up to the fight. The other one didn't. You don't get to talk anymore. Sorry, buddy.
Well, he went to a bigger fight with bigger people.
Doesn't matter. That's not the fight he was calling for. And then he went and talked about the same person. Like, if you're going to talk about that person, show up.
Well, I believe
you don't show up, you don't get to talk.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. He should know I didn't show up. I said I was. Did he say, guys? Did he say he was going to be a 74 or not?
Yes. Multiple, many times.
Multiple times. Even though everyone said you're crazy, you're never making it. And he kept saying, I will be there. I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll be there. Then he talked about Jordan and they didn't show up. So you got to stop talking about it. Sorry.
Purely from an entertainment perspective, I like it. But yes, I kind of agree with you. Gosh. But
yeah.
I
do want to talk about Carter, but I feel like we need to get to more pressing matters.
Oh, no, I was going to say, man, Penn State is so good. I was saying Penn State was so good, and they're so hard to dislike. But at this point, it's going to make wrestling kind of boring. If there's not another challenger to the dynasty, I'm good with dynasties. I think they're great. But there has to be someone who's in the same league. And at this point, they're kind of running away with it, both on the college and international level. And so, you know, if Jordan were to start a program or David were to go somewhere and do his own thing, there has to be another challenger to the throne. Otherwise, it will get kind of like, meh, next topic every year. And we don't like next topic weights.
Did this weekend turn the rest of wrestling fans more against Penn State? That's kind of been the thing, you know. You hear Iowa get booed a lot, even still,
it's crazy,
and not as much as Penn State. But did this weekend and the booing of Jordan Burroughs, that one guy going over the line yelling at Jordan, did that flip the national perspective against Penn State or just their fans?
I don't think we'll know it really until like NCAA's next year if it's going to flip, because normally, like even if it's like an 8-seeded Iowa guy losing in round one or two, the place goes nuts still to this day. Yes. And they were never a threat to Penn State this year. And Braden Davis will go down and it's the top seed. Braden loses in a quarter and it's, you know, it's the Arizona State crowd that's loud and a smattering of people that are celebrating that. So it's not trending that way. Could this be a tipping point? Maybe, but I'm thinking probably not. And I agree with you, Ben, to a point, like, you know, through other dynasties, maybe not in wrestling, you think about like the Patriots dynasty, like they're winning overtime games. Like it's still really competitive. You're still wondering, can they lose? It's almost like you're mathematically eliminated, you know, coming into last year, and really feels like this year, every team is already, it's April and we're like, you're all mathematically eliminated, and they could lose this guy, that guy. Oh, they lost Shane Van Ness for the year. Okay, the other guy will get third. So, and that's what it's going to be like. They got Luke Lilladall coming in. They have Braden Davis back. You have Aaron Nagao. They just have so much. They not only have so much elite talent, they have such a depth of talent, and they've got Karstrachi. For sure he's coming back now at this point, right? I feel certain. I feel certain he's coming back. I feel certain he's going 197.
Why do you feel that way?
Because
197?
Yeah, he said he's going 197. I think that's what's happening.
He said it's looking good.
Good. That means Conor Mirasola. I was getting, you know, I was getting nervous.
Yeah,
I was getting nervous that Kale's getting ready to save his record by not letting Conor Mirasola redshirt. Kale, I'm watching you, baby. Let that man redshirt.
You gotta take everything Carter says with a grain of salt.
No, he said he's 60-40. I'm saying 100%.
No, I didn't mean coming back. I meant 97.
Christian just added the 60 and the 40 together, guys.
Yeah, I added him. He said he's 60-40, and 60 plus 40 is 100. But 197 makes the most sense because Josh Barr had an undefeated redshirt season. You mess up your lineup if he goes 84. I think
also
he looks great.
You saw he told us that in our interview that 86 is his weight long term now.
Yeah.
He just saw what Aaron did moving up to 197 and coming to 86. Like, it's got to be motivating.
Well, yeah, no doubt. I'm just saying, he also said he was going to go 74 for the longest time.
Yeah.
He said he wasn't going to come back for sure. Now he's saying, I might come back. It sounds like he probably will come back and go 97, but I don't think we will know for certain until the beginning of the season, maybe even second semester.
He wrestled Trent Hydeley in a really tight match, was leading him at times in the match.
Yeah.
And he, like, ran through the weight except for Aaron.
Yes.
So I think he could absolutely be a very competitive 97-pounder.
If you're gonna
not look small next to Trent.
If you're going to get overpowered by someone at that weight class, you're going to get overpowered by Trent Hydeley. And he was physically – he didn't win the wrestling match. He wasn't as good as Trent that day.
Well,
but he wasn't dominated. I mean, he had a double underhook takedown on the edge on Trent. Like, he's perfectly – and that is with – hold on. And that is with him holding 174 all year long and making an attempt. He got down. He got down to like 170. And it was like, all right, this isn't happening. And then went up and was still, I thought,
bum knee.
Adequately sized with a bum knee. He didn't look over like he was too small for it. I think he's going to be perfectly big enough for 197, especially when you consider who's coming back.
No, I was going to say that he also wrestles with Aaron Brooks every day, so he probably understands what kind of power a good 197 is.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So we were still on 74 for a moment, and you talked about the performance of Kyle Dake. And I mean, Jason Nolf is just not any closer to surpassing Kyle Dake. Just
he's not.
There's very few opportunities for him. He couldn't get to legs. It was a kind of a vintage Dake performance in both matches. And pretty inspirational given what Kyle went through in the last week, and really really appreciated his raw emotion afterwards, talking about losing his father and just kind of sharing that moment with wrestling fans, because I thought it was really powerful and really cool, and really, you know, if you weren't behind Kyle coming into the tournament, hopefully we all are now and rooting for him to get that gold, because we know that what that would mean to him and for his career, and especially after what he's gone through in the, you know, the last week, it would be even more special, I'm sure.
You want to talk about 86 kilos?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Let's start with Brooks Zahid, probably.
Brooks.
Well, actually, first let's start with Connor Mirasola, first man to take down Aaron Brooks in like a year.
And
David even didn't get one.
He scored more points on him than anyone did. Connor Mirasola.
Let's go, No, not Zahid. Not Zahid.
Oh, yeah, good point. Other than Zahid. Yeah. And one of those points, yeah, was.
No, Connor, he's getting strong. He's getting big. They're going to love him at Penn State.
We'll see. I don't know. He's just not a nice guy. I think that's the problem.
He's like the nicest guy.
I know.
Back to Mitchell. You know what makes me laugh so much? Mitchell just fights you so hard, and then he hurts Lockett a little bit, and then he feels all bad. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I meant to fight you really hard, but I didn't mean to actually hurt you. I'm so sorry, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was dying laughing.
Hey, do you have a trick? I need this because, like,
what?
Well, all right. So, you know, by happenstance, I ran into the Mirasolas no less than 20 times this weekend. Just our paths kept crossing.
Okay.
And then I'm like, well, first of all, they're freaking identical twins. Oh, but, like, I can tell the Brands brothers apart. I can tell the Steiner brothers apart. Do you have a trick for the Mirasolas? Because I knew only Connor was wrestling, and I wanted to specifically tell Connor good luck, but I could not tell until after the tournament.
You kept saying good luck.
But I didn't want to say good luck to both. You know, it was weird. So help me.
Connor's got a little gnarlier left ear.
Okay.
That's my
Connor,
tell.
Connor, left ear. All right,
Connor left.
That's what I'll look for. I'll be like,
a little gnarlier.
And if he's wearing headgear, I'll just ask him to kindly, could you remove your headgear, please? Ah, Connor, hello, good to see you. All right, good.
Now, I feel like I'm going to mess this up, but I feel like Connor's got a little more jacked up nose also. But now I'm like, oh, my God, is that Cole? I can't remember. If I saw them in person, I would be able to,
really?
Be able to tell you. Dude, bro, listen. If they ever get mad at you, Christian, I'm going to tell you a story. You can always.
No, they were mad, but.
No. If they ever get mad at you for messing them up, because sometimes they'll get mad at me. I mess them up, right? Last year, there was a highlight video. Maybe it was a Fargo highlight video, or it was maybe Junior Duels, something. Anyways, right? Highlight video. And Cole's sitting there. And I'm like, oh, man, hey, check this out. This just came out or something, right? And I show him. And he goes, oh, that's me. And it was Connor. He didn't even know himself. So I tell him, like, bro, if you can't tell yourself apart, you can't get mad at me ever.
They got the same DNA. They're basically the same person.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so that was just a funny thing. Because, like, but then after the tournament, you know, Connor was all scraped up. I was like, all right, I got my man. Here he is. He had a big scrape on his neck.
All right, Brooks Zahid.
Brooks Zahid. This was crazy. It was like, very subdued. Not a lot of attempts. Maybe one from Zahid. And it was 1-0 for Zahid at the break, right? Shot clock. Am I remembering this correctly? And then
I'll go confirm that.
And then,
yes,
right off the break, Brooks comes out, and he comes out with a different level of intensity. He gets a step out and a shot clock point. And it gets to be 3-1 So I think he gets a single leg step out, shot clock, yes, and then another step out. I'm not recalling.
Sounds right.
But it's 3-1.
Well, it looks like on the thing, it looks like a caution one. So maybe there was a push out plus a caution one. It's probably what it was.
Yeah, maybe so. But it's 3-1. Okay. And then Zahid hits the big 4-point double leg. Very surprising.
Beautiful.
It was beautiful. And I mean, ended up being a pivotal moment. I thought it was pivotal at the time, but then they make the decision to challenge the four, which puts him in.
That was perplexing.
Very, I mean, in that, and that's not something where you're watching it afterwards. You're like, that was bad. It was like, why are you challenging this? You're just putting him down another point. He already is going to have a criteria battle because he's not going to get a four. And now it's just another point he has to get. I thought it was a bad brick. I didn't understand it. If you look at when Zahid starts putting him down, he's like, yeah. It wasn't like he ran off the mat, and then put him down. It was like he was finishing it on the mat, and he landed straight on his back. So
yes, straight.
Bad brick, and yeah, don't throw that.
And it made it 2 takedowns, Christian, because it would have been a takedown and a push out would win it, you know, or a takedown and a one, or a takedown and a caution or something. But then when he's up by 3, it's like you need 2 takedowns to win the match.
Yes. Yeah. So then at that point, it's like, man, this is – you're not thinking at the moment this is insurmountable, but it's 6-3. Well, it's 6-3. Here, I'll tell you what. Let me give my thought. So with 90 seconds left, it's 6-3, and I'm like, it's not the biggest deal for Aaron. You feel like he can run that down.
Yep.
But then I feel like a minute goes by before it's like a lot of time passes before he gets scores.
He got a takedown with 21 seconds left.
Okay. So it took him over a minute to get those points. So with 30 seconds left, you're like, oh my gosh, see, he's going to do this. And then he gets the takedown. And then the step out came so easy. He just kind of dropped and got under and ran. And then there's 11 seconds on the restart. And it's just a flurry of hands and feet moving, and Brooks is sprinting at him. And then you see the stop, the caution, and one. And then everyone's going back and replaying, and you're looking for an alternate view, but not many really exist because you're not. No one else.
Well, there
is
was one,
to film.
One on Twitter.
Yeah.
There was a really good one on Twitter. And it was funny because my initial thing was he threw the challenge, but he knows he's guilty.
Yes.
If he thought he wasn't guilty, why wouldn't he let him challenge it? That's weird, right? So he knew it made me feel as, okay, you know you're guilty. Mm-hmm. You know it's going to be another point. And so then you would need a takedown versus a push out was what I was thinking. There's another view. And it was really funny because the person on Twitter said, look at how the ref screwed this guy, essentially, mm-hmm. right? But then I watched his video and it looked like it was such a clear grab. Like, you know, he like goes straight down and kind of pulls on it and maybe it stops like, Aaron from shooting or whatever he was doing.
And his left hand is like, also he has the singlet out and he's down blocking with that hand. So it's impactful.
Yes.
You know, it is preventing.
Yes, and correct.
The angle that was broadcast, it's almost indiscernible. You do see the strap is pulled out so you can kind of see it, but mm-hmm. you can't see the action or the impact of that maneuver. But the other one was more straight on. You're almost like facing Aaron and Zahid.
Yes, that one.
You see Zahid's back. Then you can see there is more impact there. And so what we last year with the stupid singlet grab and the Burroughs chance thing that mired that match, you learned that like defensive singlet pull is almost always an automatic one. Offensive, they'll attention. And so can you say this was defensive because you know Brooks is attacking, or was it an actual attack and it was defensive? Where do you fall on that?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of by nature of the score of the match, he had to be attacking, right?
Yes.
So anything is slowing him down, and that's probably what they were thinking.
Yeah. So as the dust settles on this match, and a lot will get focused on the singlet pull, but I can't help but feel like the right guy won. Bad brick.
Ooh, I don't know.
Bad brick point is the only reason it was a thing. It should have been 6-5 by actual tangible points. So,
sure.
If you take away that point and the other point, then it's the same thing. What were you saying, Tyler?
I was just going to say, if you're Zahid in his corner, do you take it? We were kind of noticing all weekend that the replay angles were not great. They're pretty zoomed out.
I thought they were horrible.
You take the gamble and I don't know. Like, do you take the gamble? And even if you know that maybe you grabbed it or you caught it, is it better to try to challenge? And because we saw with the Spencer Lee Gilman angle, the Penn State corner was certain that it was a four. I wasn't.
Ooh, so that was close.
I wasn't so sure. Yeah, but when they looked at the replay, they had no angles that could even tell remotely
really?
If it was four. Yeah, the angles were terrible.
I don't know what they were showing on the broadcast, but in the arena,
they were. They were honestly, they weren't showing it. It was frustrating.
Okay, so they weren't showing. Well, even still, they weren't that I could tell you even using the broadcast angle. They were using this weird fisheye, weird. I mean, it looked like worse than a cell phone thing. The wrestlers are this big on the giant screen. I don't understand how that is the technology we're using. We had better tech. I mean, we had better replay stuff at Final X last year than we had for the Olympic trials. We had more
flex.
Well, I don't think that's us. I don't know if that's us or USA or who makes that decision. But it was not. It was. You should be able to have an angle of everything, right?
Yeah, 100%.
A level of production and the level of importance and. They did not, I think, have, in a lot of cases, have an adequate replay angle. And I was really surprised by that. And yeah, you should be, bottom line, there are some things that maybe a replay won't get. But you should always know if someone lands on their back in a wrestling match. There's no way that you can't have the angle there. There's no way that can be missed, right? Yes. You should have that covered. Like, yeah, maybe the thumb here or what the, maybe you missed some things. A man got picked up and placed on the mat. You should be able to know how he landed. And you couldn't always do that. And I saw, so in real time, I was like, that might have been four. And then I saw some pictures afterwards that made me think, okay, he was turning down. You thought it was two.
I thought it was two.
Right away.
Angle, yeah.
Yeah. So they,
so the angle they had the broadcast, it sure looked like it was four, but it wasn't a great angle.
It was one of those where it looked like he should have, just based on the body positioning that you saw, that he should have, but you couldn't quite tell exactly how Spencer landed. Yeah, let's talk about 57 because it was.
Talking
about 86.
We
didn't get the David versus Aaron.
We didn't. Sorry.
Which is, oh my gosh.
Which was, oh my goodness. Why don't you give your thoughts on it, Ben?
The first thing to mention was, and people brought this up, was Aaron was cutting weight at 1 a.m. I mean, he didn't get done with his match until 11 p.m., had to go cut weight and make weight at 8 a.m. The next day was totally, I mean, that is an insane schedule. I know we're talking about procedure later. We'll talk about that more, because that doesn't feel right. Aaron versus David, Aaron was able to shut him down kind of completely. I mean, we're talking about one of the most dynamic offensive wrestlers
ever,
maybe in the history of American wrestling ever. Yes. And Aaron was able to shut him down. Even when David was able to get in, he actually scored off one of David's shots, and he has had such heavy hips that David was not able to pull him in. So, man, that was super impressive. You know, I've said this so many times on the show, but if America got to enter multiple reps, 86, we'd have multiple medals, right? We for sure would. When I look at this field, I think there's probably almost five guys who could maybe place at Worlds if the other American rep was not in the field. And Aaron's a guy who I think you got to put him right on top of. He's the favorite for the Olympics because David surely was. David has proven he's better than everyone else internationally for the last how many years? And now he got beaten in America, so Aaron's the favorite.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I was very surprised by how the match played out, and that it wasn't that the areas where Aaron was good didn't surprise me. It was that David just had such a hard time generating and getting anything going against David, that he was able to get to legs only on a few rare occasions. And on the one hand, it feels like David was dominated in a way, though the points were close.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, if he finishes that high crotch in that first match, he takes match one, or he has the lead there. But Aaron did a good job keeping his toes down and just giving up one.
Yep.
When it looked like two was coming. So in that way, you're like, well, it was just a finish away in match one. And I really thought
match two.
And I really thought
match,
And I really thought in match two, we were going to see a different, I thought maybe off the scale, David actually didn't feel good. I think he was cutting his weight a little bit differently. He was talking about in the video. And, you know, maybe he didn't feel great off the scale, but a lot more recovery time. He can adjust to some of the things Aaron is doing, and it's going to look different. And I thought he came out a little more active, and then he couldn't get it going again, and he had an even harder time. And yeah. I feel like there was a time with David versus Aaron where you could get to the leg and figure things out against Aaron Brooks. Those times are no more. If you're not finishing immediately like Zahid Valencia, your head stays down and it doesn't come up, and he's on your ankle, mm-hmm. and he's able to stop you. And David has been historically able to get in and figure out the finish. And it's won him so many matches. It's part of the reason he's one of the best to ever do it. And we did not see, he was not able to do that against Aaron Brooks. And that was surprising. And I really, as I look back on the things that preceded this match, his decision to go up to 197 and get a little bit bigger, I think we did not give that enough credit for the level of physicality that yeah. allowed him to bring in this match. And maybe, and you talk about the schedule, and we can get into that. But, man, I was really feeling like he was cutting weight till 2 a.m. He didn't get to bed till 2. I was like, you're just not going to be able to beat
Wayne's at 8.
Wayne's at 8 a.m.
Wayne's at 8, yes.
So you're not – I was just like, no. You can't have those circumstances and beat the pound-for-pound number one, a guy that has lost one match since 2017 World Team Trials. You're not going to do that. And he did. And it was unbelievable to see it and to see it twice.
Yeah.
And really, out of that series in 74, you're left wondering, what does the future for David hold? What does the future for Jordan hold? That's kind of where my head went. And for both, for David, I feel like he's not done. For Jordan, I'm less certain, but that was my view on the 86 match, and what a job by Aaron Brooks. And I absolutely feel like he's the favorite in Paris.
I'm not trying to take anything away from Aaron. He beat David, dominated David two straight. I still didn't feel like we saw David seemed off to me, and that could be Father Time for sure.
Yeah.
But even in his kind of body language, you know, he normally comes down. I think he does like a squat jump and some stomps, and I don't think we saw that. He looked maybe a little like glossed over in his face, and maybe part of that was just I'm losing late, and I did not expect to be in this situation. And maybe I'm just crazy, but
you're not the only person.
It didn't seem like David was there.
You're not the only person I've heard and seen say that David looked a little in his face and in his just body language a little off. And is it the moment? Is it age? Is it, you know, just wasn't feeling great? We don't know that.
Maybe it was he was surprised by how powerful Aaron was.
And you know what? There's something. So we've talked a lot about the competition schedules for a lot of these wrestlers and the choice. You know, David, famously, he did not compete between Worlds and Final X, and he made the team again, and he won Worlds again. You're like, this works. There is another side of that coin, right? If you're not mm-hmm. making weight consistently and competing against Lee, it's different. Even if you have the room that Penn State has, where you can test yourself in wrestling against Kyle Snyder and Jake Varner and Kale Sanderson and Aaron mm-hmm. and Carter, all those guys,
it's different.
It's just different when you're down to the weight, when there's a ref, when you're playing for keeps. And maybe that was part of it too. Did he know how he was going to feel off the scale, not wrestling off the scale in so long against? And did he know, staying away from Aaron, you're watching Aaron, right? You're watching him prepare, but you probably haven't felt him since Final X last year. Maybe they have,
yeah.
But it would surprise me if they
Aaron said they hadn't.
They hadn't trained since Final. So you don't.
They had not wrestled one time, a singular time.
Okay, I don't know about a singular time, but he said they don't train together.
Yeah. So, and that doesn't surprise me
at
all.
That's wild to me.
It's not wild to me when you consider the.
Really? I knew you said, and I trust you on this, that they don't train together a lot. Like, they're not going together all the time. I totally get that, right? But never? 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 That never's a lot also.
Not anymore. And I would understand. The thing is, for Aaron and David, it's like you have just a bevy of incredible training partners there. So you, sure. It's not like, man, to get pushed, I need to wrestle David. No, I can go with, you know, one of five, several Olympic champions in that room. So it doesn't.
David and Dake go with each other a lot, don't they?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. So I really wonder if that could be. I mean, we're just looking for reasons why, right? And
yeah.
You can give credit to Aaron and say, that didn't look like the Olympic champion, David, the guy that beat Yazdani so many times. It looked a little – didn't look like the guy that beat Aaron last year. Yeah. But Aaron didn't look like the Aaron of last year either, to give credit.
No, Aaron looked bigger, stronger, more powerful. Yes.
I want to mention, you said that he was that one – takedown away in the first match. He was also one takedown away in the second match. And
right.
What was it with like 20 seconds left or something? It was interesting. You're not used to seeing David, like, I don't know. That was almost like a desperate back trip. You're used to seeing him.
Yeah. He like got figured
stay
out.
Controlled, finish a takedown. I felt like he had a little bit more time to try to work for that finish. And
I don't know. I thought that was the right move at the right time. And then, I mean, the other thing that was so impressive about that, Tyler, was even when David does that trip and then Aaron ends up on his butt, there's been so many times when David's been able to then lift ankle post, walk over the backside, you know, and Aaron covered so well there where he wasn't able. And you saw Aaron was patient, had the knee in the butt, was keeping David's weight forward so he couldn't like shift back and come over the top again, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I get why you think that, but I also feel like if you're in David's shoes, it's like, you almost want to trick him, throw a curveball because you don't see the back trip, and also make a wrestling exchange happen because it's not as really as much of an exchange before when it's like shoot and then you're stuck. Shoot, you're stuck. Get something that's happening. Make some motion happen. So I understood it from David, and it's just Aaron was so prepared for so much of what
he wrestled so smart.
He really did, and that
you know what someone said online. And I have no idea whether this is true. I don't remember who. I was, scrolling Twitter like I do once in a while. It's a good thought. They said one of the people that Aaron wrestles with a lot, and I don't know this to be true or false, is Kale. And obviously, David has modeled his style after Kale. So, like, what better look to get than Kale?
Yeah. No, that would make a lot of sense. And I'm sure Kale trains with all those guys, including Aaron. So, yeah, that would make a ton of sense. Yeah. You wonder for David what's next. I feel like he's not going to be done. I feel certain going into the trials, David was planning to continue. Does this give him pause? I don't know, but that was my read on the situation. That's my read on the Nike signing. That's just my read on, you know, things I hear. But now I don't know. But I'm hoping.
Did Scrap Life curse him?
What's your read on Jordan? Done or continuing?
He has said 2024 Olympic trials is it. I think it's a shame that we didn't even talk to him. You know, we didn't talk to him in the lead up.
Really?
He did not. Yeah, he didn't want to talk to anyone before.
You didn't go find him?
Well, what am I going to do? What do you mean find him?
I figured you guys would go find him off site and do a, sit down or something to that effect.
They were trying to set something up and nothing came of it. So it's like, man, is that just it? All right, see you. Thanks for everything. Or are you coming back? Or, you know, it would have been, this is where wrestling's so behind. It's like, you know, me not even able to talk to the guy in the lead up to the event and weeks before and the day before and during. And that's just a shame to not hear from the guy that you've heard from so many times over the years.
And here's the unfortunate thing is if he does come back and wrestle at this year's World Championships, it's either A, we watch him lose again, which is sad, Jordan Burroughs. So it's just another sad loss in his career. And then he retires, or he wins the trials and then goes on to Worlds and what, you retire in Albania?
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, you say Albania, I say World Championships. And
I know, but you don't get... Okay, so there's going to be... Well, there's going to be, what, 30 American fans in the stands there?
Yeah, but the Iranians will go crazy.
Yeah, they'll go wild.
They will. He'll get more cheers than he would in state college.
Yeah.
Nah, he would have gotten cheered a lot in state college if he took his shoes off, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think if he did it in a defeat to Dake, it would have been different. Yeah. In that it would have been, I think it would have been more poetic. It's like, all right, this is the guy who's best to me, and it's, you know, those guys have been linked their whole career. But the Nolf loss is so random and it's so raw. You gotta remember, that's the same session of the Mitchell stuff. It all happened right there. So it's like Nolf, sort of a random guy to retire you in Jordan's arc, and then to have it with the booze and the swirl of negativity. I understand why he didn't do it. And yeah, I agree. If he does it during the Dake series, if he loses that one, then I feel like it would have been.
We haven't talked specifically about, like, we talked in other videos, but like there were people yelling at him that his career was over.
Like, we did talk about
that's what we talked about.
Yeah. We say that specifically.
We didn't say what people were saying.
We said that people were chirping him, but like that is, I don't know. I think we never brought up what they said specifically. Like they were yelling crazy things at him.
Yeah.
And I think that's important context to know, like, because there are people in the chat that are like, it's okay for people to boo Jordan. Like they don't have to root for him.
Yeah.
But like the things that some of these fans were saying were completely
out of order. If you're a Penn State guy, do you want your fans crossing that line a little bit, getting under your competition's skin?
If you're a Penn State guy, yeah, probably.
I don't know. I don't. Do you think?
I mean, that guy.
Hold on.
I don't know if Kale likes that.
Yeah. Do you think Kale Sanders is like? No. There's no freaking way.
Yeah.
No way.
I'm not saying it's okay or I like it. That guy's a jackass, but there's a thing to you want your fans, you know, toeing that line, stepping over it sometimes. Maybe.
What is the reputation around Carver Hawkeye Arena? It's the greatest arena for wrestling.
Exactly.
And what's the reputation around those fans? They are nuts. They say crazy things. Sometimes some of the things that have been said there are massively out of line, even worse than maybe what Jordan just heard, without getting too particular there. But that is regarded as like kind of the standard for an electric wrestling atmosphere. So
you got Carver. It's a thing.
Yeah.
Carver.
Yeah. It's a.
Because Iowa fans will go there.
Yeah. The Bush lights are flowing.
That's right.
As you pointed out, like Gable showed up to Carver, whooped on Cassiope, and then got a standing ovation from them.
Yeah, so they'll appreciate.
And like I said, after all the boos and everything, when Jordan was coming off the mat, I would say most fans were respectful and cheering for him.
Yeah.
You just had a couple. Yeah, obviously.
You know, if Jordan just kept it moving and walked by, he'd be like, all right, it didn't really butt. But to see him bothered in that moment, it's like, geez,
yeah, it makes
bad enough. And that guy's given us so many incredible wrestling memories. It's like, man, I'm just thankful. If that was it, I'm just thankful that I got to be there.
You're hardcore Nanny Lion. He gave you some bad memories, too.
Yeah, but then what did he do every time at Worlds?
Yes.
All right.
I know.
Okay.
57.
He didn't even consider. Jordan didn't even consider.
No, he just got going.
Immediately. It was different than when he lost a chance. Remember, he had that moment in the center of the mat at Final X last year.
He's just a little bit. No, I don't want to go to 57. I want to get into every 4 years at minimum, we have the Process Warrior Armies take to Twitter.
I forgot. Raging. I have a diagram. Can I go upstairs real quick? I totally forgot it.
Yes.
Give me like 30 seconds.
Ben has
I actually drew this out because I'm a little autistic and I was infuriated by the bracketing at 65 and 86.
Okay.
We'll get your homework.
We'll let him get his diagrams. I'll maybe lay a little groundwork. So everyone, especially in Olympic years, gets upset about the guys that have the advantages, the buys to the finals. More recently, the buys to the semis took on, got some criticism. So the non-Olympic world medalists got a buy to the semifinals of the challenge tournament. So that's an undeniable advantage. And so every 4 years at minimum, people start raging about how we are determining our Olympic teams. And I find it to be often agenda-driven and lacking, zooming out in the broader perspective of what USA Wrestling is actually trying to do. But I will also say, while I have defended many aspects of the process, including sitting out to the 2 out of 3, there are things that should be changed without a doubt to make it more, I don't even know if fair is the word. Just it's not fair. It's reasonable. It is unreasonable that you would have someone wrestle their last match at 10:45 p.m. and have to weigh in 10 hours later, okay, that with a night in between it. That is crazy that that would happen and that that is the schedule that you guys created. That is wrong. That schedule makes no sense. So they've got to change that. And the other thing I'm going to add before Ben breaks out his diagram is not only, there it is, not only does the schedule not make sense, we have the solution. We already figured
out. Get rid of Greco. Get rid of Greco. Bro.
No, hold on, hold on. No.
What?
Damn, Ben.
The solution.
Tell me that wasn't a good idea.
No, the solution is Final X. Set the finals 2 weeks. I mean, what you can criticize NBC for not marketing this that great or whatever. It's like, what are we giving them to play with? 12 hours, the Super Bowl set to market it, including overnight? No, give them 2 weeks to build up Aaron Brooks versus David Taylor and Spencer Lee versus Thomas. There's plenty to work with there. Jason Nall versus Kyle, Kennedy Blades versus Adeline Gray. There's a lot to work with. But we didn't give them much to work with because we said, all right, 12 hours later, we're going to be wrestling round one at 10 o'clock in the morning, East Coast. So what do you want NBC to do with that?
Christian, that Friday night was, bro, it was brutal. It was 4.5 hours or 5 hours or something. Like,
yeah.
Dude, I freaking love wrestling. That's too long of a session. Like, think about even NCAA semifinals, Dog Bone. They do 2 consi rounds at a semis, and it's like 3 hours.
Yeah, and it's long. And so
that's long.
So I think before we get into the bracketing issues, which there are in the 2 out of 3, which are separate issues, you should bust this up. There should be a challenge tournament, and then you should have a period of time, whether it's a week or 2 weeks, whatever. And let's let Aaron Brooks, I don't know, get a night's rest. Let's let these guys cut weight evenly. Let's have that competition be even. It's advantage enough that you get to bypass the challenge tournament. And I think that's okay. But it's not about fairness. It's not even reasonable, some of the things they ask. But I want to kick it to Ben for Diagram Radio Live. What you got for us, buddy?
Okay, the bracketing is infuriating. So, people have issue with the bye to the semifinals. Tom Ryan was complaining about it. I can be okay with that. I can be okay with world medalists getting advantages. I'm fine, right? The problem is they did the bracketing wrong, and there's multiple reasons why it's wrong. So 65 kilograms, which I will put up and redraw. If you think about it, the top side is smaller than the bottom side because the bottom side has an extra round. So Jesse Mendez, had he made the finals, would have had 4 matches versus having 2 matches.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense, right?
Can we talk about
2 extra rounds?
Yeah, and just to illustrate, not just those matches, he beat Joey McKenna, James Green, Yanni Giacomahalis, and then had to beat Zane Rutherford just to make it to the finals.
So the other thing, Christian, that's dumb is when you put the semifinal bye on the bottom, you're not seeding that person, but you're essentially putting the number 1, the number 3, and the number 4 all on bottom, and the only people on top are the 2 and the 5.
Yes.
Right? Because they don't seed that. So what I did was, I seeded. So let's see.
That looks good.
I seeded Zane, number 1.
Right.
Okay. Oh, they're going this way. Uh-huh. All right. And then you start going. So Zane is about a semis, but it actually works out perfect because there's a 16-man bracket, but Zane's got a bye to the semis. So there's 12 other people. So you put them in line. Right? Now Nick Lee becomes on the bottom. Yanni was a 2, becomes a 3. So you bump everyone down. But so you have the 1, the 4, and the 5 on top, like you should, which would be Zane, Green, Alirez. Mm-hmm. You have the 2, the 3, the 6, and 7, which have been Nick Lee, Yanni, Bartlett, and McKenna on bottom, like you should. Now, after that, it just kind of feeds into itself. So it's a little different than the full 16 because we don't have a full 16. So, for example, the 7 would then face the 8, right? And so on and so forth. But now you're giving everyone, all those people who do not get the bye to the semis, they're all going to have equal amount of matches.
Yes.
To go into the semis, which makes way more sense, way less rounds. I thought it was unfair that night session, both 65 and 86, they had a match And then the winner had another match, whereas on the top side, that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
Right? So then, yeah, 86, I drew this one a little cleaner. Aaron would be the actual two, so he would have a bye there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Zahid is the number one. Then you're going to have number three, Chance, number four, Heidley, number five, Dieringer. This is how it's going to work out because there is no 13 seed here. There's a bye for Aaron. But this, again, it makes it even. Whereas on the bottom you had, I think it was it Chance having the extra match?
I think so.
So, Chance and Heidley, they were the ones that had to wrestle, and the winner of that got Zahid.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it was just like, it's so silly. There's a much better way to do it. How did this get by? You know, how did this get by as the bracket? And I want to say what I'm really frustrated by is, I want to say we had this exact same conversation in 2021 and we pointed out the flaw in the system and no one paid attention when this seems to be obvious, really, really obvious. And that's like, well, it's just a bracket. It's like, no, we're trying to pick the effing Olympic team here. This is something, if we're 40 years from now, Christian, we're going to say who's on the 2024 Olympic team. And we're going to know that.
Yeah.
And because we're bracketing differently, like, I don't know, give Mendez one last round. Maybe he makes it.
He lost 3-2.
He already wrestled three really, really, really hard matches before he got the Zane.
Yeah.
And can I tell you something funny real quick? Christian was talking about the process yesterday, and I was like, how should it be? And he sent me a picture of one of your diagrams, and he heavily implied that he drew it himself.
No, I did not.
He heavily implied it.
Why are you lying?
You didn't say it wasn't you. That's all I'm saying.
I said it was Ben.
But let me put this out here, and I'm going to apologize to everyone on my last show for all the things I said that offended anyone. My next show is next Monday. I'll be live in that studio right there. But guys, if we got rid of Greco, and don't tell me you care, because listen, I got the documents. I see all the numbers. I know what the numbers are. And the numbers say only 7 of you care about Greco. Right? You know, listen, if these guys want to do it, they work hard. They're great human beings. I'm sure they are, even though they're really mad at me for saying this. If we get rid of Greco, we go 9 men's weights, 9 women's weights. Tell me you don't love that. Tell me you don't love. You love it. You love my dear. Or we go 10 men's, 8 women's. Either way, both ways are great. Both are better than what we have now. You guys all love my idea. Don't lie.
Okay, so moving on. 2 out of 3.
Don't lie, Christian Biles. Tell me the truth.
I didn't lie.
You're being a coward right now. You're not showing up to the fight.
No. I'm playing the long game, Ben. I actually like being employed. You're the one quitting.
The other thing here, Christian, is I still couldn't tell you right now. You could say, hey, Ben, when is a specific person going to be up, or what order are we going in? I have no idea.
What
I don't know
was
what
that order?
I pay attention to wrestling more than anyone. I have no idea. What do we do? Did we go in weight order, age order? I don't know. I have no idea.
Everything drove me crazy about trying to figure out what was happening when. Like, there was no rhyme or reason. It wasn't like weight class order. It wasn't style order. It was even on track wrestling. The freaking bracket orders.
It was so hard to find them.
It was one time I was like, where is women's freestyle 53? Like the order made no sense anywhere. It was so hard. Like we're working so hard to try to tell people, and it's so hard to know. It's like, there's gotta be a better way. Like 3 mats. Have one style on each mat. Make it simple. I don't know. There's got to be a better way, though. I feel you on that. But I want to get into the... So I'm with you that I think the bracket has to be changed and was ignored and not changed and should be fixed.
Someone should be fired over this. Who's ever in charge of bracketing, they should be fired. I don't know who it was.
Why are you looking at me?
Well, I don't know. Someone. I don't want to be fired. So it may as well be you.
Someone was in charge of
bracketing. You have the least seniority.
Someone's job. That was someone's job. Come up with the
Not
bracket.
Someone on this show. Okay, good. Okay, good. All right, fine.
No.
Well,
yeah, I mean,
someone
we
has to be fired over this.
If we were in charge and you got this wrong, I'd come down there and whoop your butt.
Yeah, probably better than firing. So, yeah, they got to fix that. They've got to fix the schedule. It should be a Final X format where you set the finals, and then you have a couple weeks or a week. A little more than 12 hours may be helpful for marketing purposes, and maybe you can get interest around this. But the argument about the 2 out of 3, something that's been kind of in place for a while, where you get the bye to the finals if you're a returning world medalist, that's in men's freestyle. It's a little different. I'm good with it. And here's how I know all these people complaining about it that don't like it are also good with it. because, and I'll use Coach Ryan as an example here, because he was vocally not in support of
the. He was against the semifinal thing though, wasn't he?
I think he's against the 2 out of 3. I think. But either way, let's whether Tom does or doesn't feel about it, as an example. Here's how I know all these people that say they're against the guys having to buy the finals are actually for it. If you have a team, let's say you coach Ohio State, you're the head coach of Ohio State University. What would it take for Jesse Mendez to not be your starter next year? Would you say, wow, Jesse Mendez lost his wrestle off to Nick Bouzakis or Dylan D'Amelio? Well, I guess Jesse's not starting this year. Would it be that? Or would there be a higher barrier that the challenger would have to clear in order to be a starter? Because why? Because of what Jesse Mendez, in this example, of which there are many, because Jesse Mendez has proven what he proved last year shows what he can do and what he can do for your team. And just like Ohio State, Penn State, Iowa, et cetera, are trying to put their best team on the mat, that's what USA Wrestling is trying to do. So the barrier to surpass a world medalist is higher, and it's higher for a reason, because everyone knows the flukish nature that of one match. So yes, they
multiple do data points.
You are protecting them. And now that's not to say it's not an insurmountable. It's not. It's
Aaron
proven.
Brooks, Aaron Brooks surmounted it.
The deck was never more stacked against an athlete than it was against Aaron Brooks this weekend. When you consider the path he had to go through, the timing of which the wrestling happened, and the more than anything, the level of opponent he had to go through. The greatest wrestler walking the planet up to that point, it was David Taylor, any weight class. Yep. And he had to be so. And last year we saw it with Gilman. He went down. It's he had the protection, but he went down to Zane Richards. Last year we saw Chance Marsteller. Burroughs had the advantage, but Marsteller got it done. So it's not insurmountable. It's USA Wrestling's way of protecting, but not ensuring.
Yes.
And so for that reason, they should continue doing it. We're experiencing incredible success. And just like how every great college wrestling team, including Ohio State. Ohio State's had all kinds of wacky wrestle offers. Gaston Gary beat Chase Singletary. Heppner beat Hartschler. You had, back in the day, Ian Paddock beat Hunter Stieber. But did we rely on that data point? Or do we say, hey, let's take a broader look at what's happened. And let's maybe make that barrier for the challenger a little bit higher to prove they're the better guy. And that's all the best coaches in America are doing, and that's all USA Wrestling's doing, and that's why it is the right way to pick our world and Olympic teams.
Yes. We have a chatter suggesting we should just do best of seven.
Best of seven? Oh my God.
Over multiple weekends.
I think at one point, at certain points, people will be like, nah, you can have it, bro.
They're never going to win. Ever. The other person. Yeah. All right. Hey, let's get to 57 because we have not hit that yet.
What is ideal? You said Final X format, but do you still keep all three styles together, wrestling all the other matches?
Well, I think you can, because we did it last year at Final X with all three styles together. Three matches.
It was a little too long. I said that.
Well, it would only be six weights.
That's all you did last year? I feel like it was less than
No. I'm saying for this, it would only be six weights.
Oh,
if you're doing it on three mats, a style per mat, then it's, you know, just the same as if it were one style. So Ben, you don't have to watch something you don't want to watch. There's no.
I believe in freedom, Christian Piles.
Oh, I'm glad. I hope your rights weren't infringed this weekend.
Christian Piles, my rights were infringed because I wanted to turn the damn TV on and watch six weights of freeze, ideally in weight ascending order, and I don't know what I'd one match, and then I'd have to go wander off and play with my kids. And when do I go back? I don't know. Is it 7:30? Is it 7:40? I don't know. I don't even know. So then I have to go look. You know, hey, who's actually coming up? I had the bout board up because it was like I literally don't know wrestling. I have no idea. Hey, and I freaking podcast wrestling for a living, and I don't know when anyone's wrestling, Christian.
Yeah, I think when you rage, your internet fights back. So you gotta rein it in. Is you were louding it was, or as you were loud, it was It was cutting out.
If you're not going to go to a Final X format, I think this tournament at least has to be 3 or 4 days, both for athletes and the fans.
3 or 4 days?
I'm not saying you separate every weight and make it that long, but like you do some weights these days,
or 15-minute warning.
You throw an extra mat in that sucker. You throw an extra mat in that sucker, you knock it out quick. Let's do this.
Well, I don't like throwing an extra mat.
And there's only like
I'm already struggling to watch everything. Like another mat just
you don't get to watch everything. Can't get what you want.
Yeah, but if you try sometimes, you might find.
I also go back and forth in between all three styles together versus splitting them because it's okay. Just the way it is, obviously there are more men's freestyle fans than women's freestyle and Greco. So on one hand, it's like to get the women's freestyle and the Greco athletes the in-house experience of all those fans. You want them together. But on the other hand, like we would put a lot of backing into women's freestyle, like hype and promotion if they're standing alone at their own event. And it kind of gets washed under the table a little bit when you have the men's freestyle matches going on at the same time.
Okay, let's get into 57 kilograms if we only have 15 minutes. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, Spencer Lee runs.
I can go a little overtime. I can or not.
Okay, I don't know if we can.
I don't know if my bladder can.
You coward.
Just
we had
take
to pull
a piss and come back.
We had to pull over for this guy in the middle of the trip from the airport there because he couldn't hold it like the rest of
from
us.
From the airport?
Felt like awesome. I was riding with...
It's
felt like
our farmhouse didn't have a bathroom, so we could only pee at the venue, Ben.
That's fine.
No. If you live on a farm, you just go pee outside,
yeah,
Tyler.
That's the whole point of farm.
The earth is your urinal.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Anyway, Spencer gets it done against Thomas Gilman. Mm-hmm. Ben, did you have any thoughts leading into the...
The whole challenge tournament was a lot of fun because there was all these high school guys in the field making it a blast. So I guess from the beginning, Blaze Soriano was very competitive. Blaze comes all the way back to take third place, which was so impressive. Forrest had a really competitive match against Thomas Gilman. Gilman looked great against Fix, and that's when you're thinking, okay, I think he's going to get it done against Spencer Lee, but Spencer looked good all weekend, beat up on Zane Richards. And then, what he's so good at is he's really good at where his body's at in space and getting his body like low. Him and Zane were in that scramble a whole bunch of times. I think he won every single one of them.
Yeah, he got up 9-0 and then won 13-6 against Zane. And then that was in the finals. In the match before, pretty dominant win over Nico, 8-0, I think, final there. So coming into that 2 out of 3, let's talk about Gilman's path. He had the 5-4 win over Jax Forrest. Jax comes out, gets the opening takedown off that 6 slide by. And then Gilman's kind of just 1-1-1-1-1 until he gets back into the lead. Were you feeling like... what were you feeling about Gilman in that moment after he won against Jax?
The Jax match didn't look great, right? That's where I was like, ooh, great. But then he looked better, in my opinion, against Fix, and that's where I now, he looks good in this one. Maybe it was the weight cut, maybe not. Actually, after watching the second, I didn't really feel like it was the weight cut. I could be wrong, of course.
To me, I had the kind of opposite perspective. I was like, okay, he's a little further from the scale, and he looks so much better against Dayton. Like, that's more recovery time. That's the most recovered Gilman was, and it was probably the best he looked. It was against Dayton.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of process, I think maybe it was just because of time constraints, but why they wrestled both matches of like certain weight classes in the morning versus most of them were morning and the night. That was really strange to me because it's not like the tournament is in 3 days. The tournament is in 3 weeks. So why do we need to move it up by 6 hours or whatever?
Having Spencer Lee not wrestle in prime time in the evening session is just like marketing, planning malpractice. Just a horrible error to rush that one and have it done before lunchtime. just
and really 65 was a good final also. Another one they got out of the way.
They could have and should have.
Hometown boys too.
Yeah, you got Penn State versus Penn State at 65. You got a Nittany Lion guy versus, you know, arguably one of the biggest stars in the entire event, Spencer Lee, and you're knocking him out before lunchtime.
That was weird.
That doesn't make sense to me. But not my.
So I wish Kozak was here to tell us what Spencer's field looks like
at
the last chance.
JD just wrote an article about it.
If you go to www.flowwrestling.org. 57.
Wait, what, we didn't even talk about the Gilman match. Hold on. We didn't even talk about Gilman Spencer.
It was the same scramble twice. I couldn't believe it. Twice. Same exact scramble. And, you know, whatever. You make the mistake the first time, okay, but the second time, he would have only been down 3-1. You only need a takedown. I have no idea why you try hanging on there. It's just not. It's not good decision making. You got to bail there. Give up the takedown. It's then 3-1, and you got, I don't know, a minute plus probably to get a takedown. Mm-hmm. Let me check exact time on that.
It's around that, and it was crazy to see. Well, you know what's so interesting? In the first two matches for Spencer, the only shot he took was his high crotch to the point where I was like.
Yeah,
man, and it started to get him in a little trouble as he was so predictable with it. He got a few clean, and then he started to get some counter problems from it. And then you're thinking, oh, man, is that all he's shooting? Because Spencer has had this periods of time in his career where it's like he's just lulled into he only fires one side. And then we always know he has this great single leg, but sometimes it seems like he abandons it. And then it was like almost like it was trying to get Gilman thinking that way, maybe, because all he shot against Gilman was the single leg, and that's how he was able to score all the key points and then transition to the turn right from it. That was my read on the situation. And, you know, if he's attacking both sides in a match, he's so dangerous. He's so quick to the leg. As you mentioned, Ben, great competence and feel in all these scrambles, and then he has an uncanny ability to transition from takedown to turn. So I thought it was a good response from Spencer there.
I also thought
I agree.
Spencer, I feel very confident because he got it done neutral. He got it done with turns, which was vintage Spencer Lee, and good second period from Spencer Lee.
Yeah, at the end.
Yep, at the end. He had to come back and get it, and he did. And that's been maybe the knock on Spencer. And maybe there were questions still surrounding that after he didn't have the explosive second periods in his first couple matches.
Right.
But then gets it done against Thomas. So very few holes in his game.
Something Christian pointed out to me while we were watching the first match was Spencer was had a lead after the break in the first match, and he walks to his corner, and he didn't open his mouth. His mouth was closed. He was breathing through his nose the whole time, which – I don't know. That's a message.
Yeah, like, you know, we've seen all these pictures and watched Spencer all these years, like, mouth wide open, breathing heavy. He just, like, had this stoic look on his face after scoring 8 points on Nico, and just, like, mouth closed, serious look, just total focus. And you're like, whoa, this dude's in.
No, that was against Gilman, too.
Oh, against Gilman,
against
too?
Against Gilman, his mouth was shut at the break.
Wow. Yeah, it's a statement. But, yeah, I mean, seeing him win a second period there against Gil when he had to, when he was, I think he was trailing 1-1, maybe. That's telling. So I've said this probably 5 times in different videos and in conversations, but that was who Spencer just beat. That looked to me like world champion, Olympic bronze medalist Thomas Gilman. That wasn't the 2023 Final X Thomas Gilman. That Gilman has proven to be an aberration. That was a very good Thomas Gilman that he just beat. He was prepared. He was strong. He was disciplined. He wrestled pretty smart. You know, you can pick at the scramble loss in that second match, but I thought he had great tactics. I thought he had great energy. His leg attacks looked good. His positioning, power, etc. That was a really good Thomas Gilman that Spencer Lee just beat twice, and that is why I have great confidence that he's going to be able to get it done in at the Olympic Trials qualifier. Yeah.
Or
at
he does have he has a really unique feel. You know, we're talking about with the, one of our listeners brought up the word proprioception, which is a great word for that. But I think that's going to throw a lot of people off. And we've talked about other United States athletes who have a unique feel. And the first time the international guys like feel them, it's mm-hmm. just they have a lot of success. And I think Spencer will likely have that same thing because he hasn't wrestled any international for a very long time. Am I right on that?
I mean, I don't count the Pan Am thing he did because that was just not.
No, not that. Anything else?
Other than that, no.
Yeah. So he's. I'm assuming
Farrell is technically an international tournament.
You know what we mean.
He wrestled
domestic
opponents. He wrestled the little home Nico Megalunas.
How about the high schoolers? Real quick, before he gets into the who we got to beat, how about the high schoolers wrestling off for the national team spot? Marcus Blaze versus
that's wild, huh?
Luke. Right?
Well, I mean, a little bit. I really Blaze, do wish.
Marcus Blaze beat Luke Lilladol and Jax Forrest.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. So he's number one pound for pound, probably.
Yes. I'm excited that this was going to get decided at the Olympic trials. Yeah. Who the number one pound for pound high schooler would be.
Also on the national team, too, as high schoolers. Yes.
It is unfortunate, though, that there were so many forfeits on the backside because Blaze got a forfeit over Fix and Jax got a forfeit over Suriano and Richards. So Fix, Suriano, Richards all forfeit on the backside, which is disappointing.
Yeah, when I saw Jax in the halls and I was like, what do you think? He's like, well, it would have been better if I got to wrestle. I don't want forfeits over these guys. I wanted to wrestle them. I was like, yeah, that does stink. But
this
is big quit. I mean, everyone just quits after they lose here.
Should we wrestle consolation matches, Olympic trials?
Heck yeah. Absolutely.
Well, it's the national team, so that is relevant.
Yeah.
Let's speed things up.
Do those overnight.
All right, who Spencer is going to have to beat or he could see at last chance? It's pretty good field. I think 65 might be a little like deeper, but I think the top talent is better at 57. India, Aman is really good. He failed to qualify this weekend at Asians. The Chinese dude, Zhao, Turkey, has a really good guy, or actually they have two options. It could still be Otley, who's been around for a long time.
Oh my gosh, he'll murk Otley.
He's been around forever.
But I think it's actually going to be a dude named Karavis, who he's a little bit younger. He's in his early 20s. Kozak's got him ranked 10th right now. Mongolia's got three really good options. They could send North Korea. Has a guy that Kozak.
What? North Korea's got a guy?
They got a guy at 57 and 65 who will probably be there. Kozak's got Han from North Korea ranked 17th in the world right now. Iran will be there at 57.
Wow.
It'll either be Sarlacc or this young guy, Ahmed Muhammad. He's probably like 20, 21 years old. He's who they sent. The Ahmed Muhammad guy to Asians this weekend, and he did not qualify. He's a 2021 U23 world bronze, 2022 U20 world bronze.
Spencer Smash.
Yep, I think Spencer Smash.
Historically a very strong weight for Iran, right?
I mean, they're always in the mix.
Yeah, Rahimi was really good. They always got guys.
How many total athletes? Is this going to be like a 32-person bracket? How many are we going to get?
It'll probably be like 20-something.
Yeah, it'll be big. I think, so a reminder, top three here, but it's not traditional wrestle backs. Your guy has to make the final for you to get the opportunity to wrestle back for third. So
dumb.
You got to make the finals, and then you're automatically in, or get third, in which case the person you lose to. So you like the extra layer of protection that's provided there.
The bronze medal match winners will wrestle off against each other.
Yes.
To qualify. There will be no gold medal match.
Yes.
Just bronze medalists going against each other for because it's top three.
And this is a better position to be in than last Olympic cycle because I don't know how many, if everyone knows this, but it used to be just top two out of this tournament. At last year's Worlds, they wrestled a true fifth. So now they like saved that extra spot. The two bronze medalists at Worlds wrestled each other. So they saved that extra spot. They made it so third place at this tournament gets to go. And I think that's really great.
I thought that was a really smart move because the top five thing at Worlds, you get some wacky ones in fifth place because the brackets are weird and repechage. You can have some weird stuff there. So it's a better use of that extra spot. So I'm glad you.
And then is this seated? How far is it seated? And
top
will,
four. They seed top four.
Seated, and will Spencer probably won't have a seed because he isn't really playing the international.
It's UWW ranking series points.
Yeah. Not the Flow Wrestling pound for pound rankings.
Not the Flow ones, unfortunately.
Not the Caleb Piles rankings.
And how about Zane Rutherford? Is he to qualify?
Zane, like I said, I think 65 is deeper with solid guys, but that the top couple I don't think are quite as good. Except Mongolia has yet to qualify. And they've got Tumo Cheer. He's been a world medalist. Before.
He's the one, he destroyed Nick Lee, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But he's Mongolia, they didn't send him this weekend to Asians. They sent a different guy who was their rep in 2022, and he failed to qualify. So I'm not sure who they're going to send there. Uzbekistan has a U20 world champ that they'll probably send Jalalov. Albania has Dudayev. He's a Russian transfer. Mm-hmm. That'll be there. India has Sujit, who didn't have the opportunity to weigh in, even at Asians. I think there was something that went wrong with their flight or something. But he's probably not as good as their 57
okay
guy. He's a U20 world bronze a couple of years ago. Bulgaria has a good guy. Bahrain, France has a U20 world bronze. From a couple of years ago. All right,
that's good. Good.
No, keep just listing names.
No, he's just saying it's like all right.
But there's no
dominant force there. Like,
yeah.
Guy you should be like, Zane can't beat this guy.
If Ochir goes, that's the one guy.
Yeah.
But even still, it's not like Pan Am's where it's like, woof, if we get on their side, we're screwed.
Woof.
Man, I didn't feel like that at Pan Am's.
But I'm just saying, you have your opportunity to wrestle back, even where it's just like, I have a bad match. One match isn't deciding this.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you lose twice.
Just make sure if you lose, it's to the guy who
makes the final. To the man.
To someone who's actually really good.
Yeah. Make sure you do that. Or don't get him really, really tired like we used to do. And then they can't win their next match. And then.
Yeah.
We used to always do that.
Classic Metcalf.
Yeah. Just wear out Tavanian or what was that guy's name? I can't remember his name. From Iran.
Not Tavanian.
What is his name? Doesn't matter. Tagavi. That was his name. Mehdi Tagavi.
Tagavi, yes.
One thing, I don't know, but I don't know if this is a bad time to bring this up before we end the show, but we did talk about this off camera and before. One of our Twitter questions was, it looked like David Taylor got dumped to his head in his first match and he didn't look the same after that. Is that something we want to talk about at all?
Really? I did not notice that.
Off that underhook where he didn't score, actually. Mm-hmm. Man, I've been trying to find that match online. Wasn't able to before the show to rewatch it. I didn't remember him hitting his head, but he did seem a little off out of that exchange. But I don't know. I'd have to rewatch it. Maybe so, but I'm not sure.
If you want to rewatch these matches, make sure you get it in the next 30 days.
Is Peacock do the
what
same?
What happens then?
I think
ESPN.
So. It'll disappear into the ether.
It'll disappear in wrestling history.
Oh, isn't that so? That's so depressing.
We need to have someone screen record everything so that we have them. Just for our
own. One of those hacker accounts that's on YouTube.
Yeah, someone.
No, we won't post them.
We won't post them. We just want them.
We just want them.
Just want to be able to go back and watch. I'm a Peacock subscriber.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Okay. All right, we gotta go. It's past 10 o'clock.
10:03.
You guys getting rid of us already?
What'd you say?
Hey, congrats to everyone else who won the Olympic trials.
Yes, we will talk more. That.
We only talked about like 3 or 4 weights. I won't be here because I'm headed to Vegas.
Got Mason Harris, Michigan man, and Adam Kuhn, Michigan man.
Yes, yes. And
who else is going to Vegas?
None of us on this show.
Yeah.
Dang, all right. Well, I won't see you guys there, but I'll be in Austin next Monday for my last show. You better put me a seat right in there somewhere.
It'll be a party. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will get into more Olympic trial stuff on Thursday's show. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you have a great Monday. See you next time. Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.